Your story is waiting for you today. Your story has something new to say. But your story will only come out to play when you're alone. Alone. Alone in a room with invisible people.
This episode of Alone in a Room with Invisible People may contain swearing. Alone in a Room with Invisible People is brought to you by HollysWritingClasses.com. Hi, my name is Rebecca Gallardo, and I am the host of Alone in a Room with Invisible People. I am here today with author and teacher Holly Lyle, and today's topic is brainstorming. So we are going to do a bit of an experiment here, and we are going to basically live brainstorm from absolute scratch. Holly created some free brainstorming worksheets that we're going to have available on our blog. You're not going to have to give us your email. You're not going to have to, you know, sign up for anything. You can go to the blog episode and you will be able to download the brainstorming worksheets and you can play along. So if you are listening to us on Podbean or anything like that and you have a good time, this is a good time for you to brainstorm. Go ahead and pause the episode. Go download the brainstorming worksheets that Holly put together. I have downloaded them, printed them out, but I have not looked at them. And I have absolutely no idea in my head what I want to write, which is very, I mean, I have plenty of ideas already, but I'm starting from scratch on this one. So before we actually get into the brainstorming section, though, we're going to talk about what's going on with us, you know, right now. So as always, you are the first guinea pig. Holly, go ahead.
I want you to go first this week.
Oh, you want me to go? Huh? You or? Okay.
I do you because, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So this week was a big week for me. This is the first week that, or this is the first time that I have ever actually submitted something fully revised for publication. So that is huge. I have had a few self-pub things in the past, a lot of stories, a book. I did submit a slightly edited 40,000 word novella to Alora's Cave in 2009. And oddly enough, it was on the 11th of August in 2009 when I submitted that. So that was really weird. I saw that pop up on Facebook. But on the 9th August this year, so just a few days ago, I went ahead, finished up the query, finished up the synopsis, had the book, you know, went through all my bug hunter stuff, and on the 9th I was ready, I was done. And it was this just so scary and full of tension. And my stomach was knotted, and I was also, you know, just panicking because I couldn't get anything to work right. And oh my goodness, that morning was just awful. But I just really wanted to submit it while my husband was still there because he had been pushing me to submit something to publication that I would put in my own name. And so I submitted, and I only submitted it to Harlequin because that's my first choice, and I can sit here and wait for a few months, for however many months they take, and write the second book and the third book, because no matter what, I'm definitely publishing these books. So that is my first choice, and I only submitted it to one place. Probably not smart. I don't care.
Well, you knew what you wanted.
Yeah, so I know exactly what I wanted. Right, so that's the way to do it. Harlequin, and I am going to wait back. They say they typically respond within 3 months, but I did see some authors that had waited 10 months. One said like 18, which is insane. I think something went awry there. Yeah. I don't think that's normal. So yeah, that is what I am up to. How about you?
Yes. Well, hey, I am now about 12,000 words into the last episode of the Longview series, and I am almost certain at this point that it is going to come out as The Owner's Tale. And I am writing at this point from the point of view of the owner. I am doing something I have never done before, which is I am doing all of the owner's scenes first, and then I will go back through and work in all of the scenes from the other two subplots that I'm writing. But this time I just needed to understand the owner, because this is a strange, strange character. And I have been finding out stuff that has just amazed me. And I am so excited.
When we were doing our 10s, because I don't know if you, some of the listeners might not know, but we work together every morning over Skype, and we do it in 10-minute segments usually. And I remember seeing, it was one of the busier days for me, I think, so I didn't ask about it, but I remember seeing you wrote that you were writing all the scenes from the owner's perspective, and then you were going to go back and do Melly and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, what the heck? Like, I don't remember you ever doing that. That's
nope.
Just a different way to write. Just like you tell people, there's no one right way to do it.
Right, right. And this time, I just had to get inside the owner's head, because this is a character that I have been working with. This is, in fact, tied into the very first character, the very first very good character that I ever created. The first character I ever created was a dude named Dragon Dankmeyer. And I know I have covered this before, but for folks who missed the previous episode, the second character, Dragon Dankmeyer had two things going for him. One was his name, and the other was his purple pimp hat. I remember nothing else about him. But the second character that I built in this same world was a girl named Tadra Amu. And she's an artist. And she had gone to Old City on Cantata, which is in settled space, on a scholarship for art, and was going to an art school there. And something very, very bad happened to her. And the story starts before that, picks up with that, and then moves into other stuff that's taking me into this whole big history of the owner. And it's just, oh my God, I'm having such fun with this, and it's so exciting. But that's not the only thing that I've done this week. Is I also finished up the next to last lesson of how to write short stories, and I am on the last lesson of how to write short stories now. So
yeah, and any of you guys who might be taking her classes or might have taken something or bought her courses, she puts all of herself into these lessons and writing them. And I mean, they are ginormous, you know, for what is in there. She covers just all sorts of stuff. So when she gets to the end, it is always this huge thing. And I love seeing you get to the end of the courses, even though I know as a student, I'm like, no, you can keep going forever. I don't care. but as your daughter, it's nice to see you reach the completion of something and finish that entire course. Cause you're like, or I am like you in that I know that you have a million things to do and not enough time. In your entire existence, there is not enough time for you to get all of these creative ideas and classes and stuff out. So it's nice to see you finish one.
Oh, I am so excited. I am. It's going to take me. This is going to be a bigger lesson. Lesson 7 was actually a short lesson. Very first one. Very first short lesson in there. Lesson 8's not going to be short. But after this one is done, then I am finally going to start on how to write your novel, or how to write a novel.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were excited about that.
I cannot believe that it didn't occur to me before, you know, just this last little while, that I really probably ought to do that class.
Everything else that you are writing is how to write this, how to do that, how to do that. But it just, you know, completely must have missed your mind that, like, well, I want to write a novel, so
yeah.
Like, how do I apply all this? Yeah. Alrighty. So, I guess I'm just procrastinating. I'm stalling because I'm nervous.
Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to run this pretty much the way I run a consult. Okay? Where I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to ask you what you want about to do, what you want to create. And then from the point where you have figured out what you want to create, we're going to use the worksheets to build toward that. Okay? So I know you're writing romance. I know that you have already built some stories in this world.
Yeah, but I also write horror, paranormal. I've been working on some cryptid stuff. So my mind is completely open because I'm already working on book 2. That's solid. I've got some stories for the Wanda Lucia world. I've also got some stories, the ghost anthology that I can't wait to put out. And so I am actually completely, utterly open. I don't know what I'm going to pull out of my ass today, but the idea, is basically just to start from scratch, come up with a brand new idea, so I can basically act as though I am suffering from the very rare thing is if you're a regular writer, if you have what mom calls button chair, where you sit down and you work constantly, not having an idea is very rare, but I'm going to try to go from there.
Okay. Well, actually, give me just a second here then to, because we're going to start you off with, you have no idea for this. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's important to emphasize to folks right now though, that ideas are not rare things. Ideas are common, like houseflies.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is if you're consistent.
They are not rare, like jeweled butterfly crowns. Yes, they are. You have to, you learn how to create ideas. And that's what this is. That's what we're going to do today, is you are going to learn how to create ideas. Because I cannot even tell you how many times I have had somebody either email me or catch me at a con or whatever and say, I had this idea, and if you will write it, I will give you half of the money for writing it because I had this idea. And I can have 100 ideas in about 50 minutes. And most of them will suck, but there will be 5 or 6 in there, or maybe 10 in there, that are just amazing. And I have, at this point in my life, more ideas now than I can live long enough to write. Just already written down, stubbed out, storied, slightly outlined. If I just sat with my butt in chair for the next, okay, I'm 57. let's say another 50 years. If I did that, I could still not finish all the ideas that I have right now. And I have ideas every day. So ideas are not rare. And ideas are easy. They are not difficult. Even good ideas are easy. And I'm going to show you how that they're easy. And finally, you have to, ideas are grown like plants. They arrive as seeds. They do not pop into your head full blown. If you are sitting there thinking, I have this idea for a book and I've got it all worked out in my head. No, you don't. You don't. You think you do. But I have had ideas worked out in my head that I thought I had nailed. And the second you start putting the words on the page, everything changes. So, and everything changes generally for the better. So the idea that you think you have now is a start. And that's fine. That's where everybody starts, is with an idea. But the work that you put into it is what gets it from idea to published story.
We're going to describe the different worksheets so you know what they look like, because we want to also do this for the people who are not playing along, who are not writing along with us. And then, you know, we'll just kind of let you know what they look like, what the questions are that we're answering. We'll let you know what it is that we're doing. And feel free to, for anybody else who is working along, we're going to try to remember to let you know to pause before we do the work. Just so that you can also work along with us, and you're like, okay, well now I need to do this. So we'll hit pause and then you can work. So, yeah. Right. So I guess let's get into it.
All right. So what we are going to do here is, first, you are going to relax your mind and you are going to start acquiring elements. Every idea requires elements. It requires things and people and conflicts and settings, and to be a workable idea, it has to have all of these things. And the best way to get these ideas is to allow your subconscious mind, your right brain, to start throwing concepts on paper without censoring. And I cannot emphasize this enough. There is no such thing as stupid when you're doing this. If you are writing along and something in your brain says, oh, that's stupid, smack it and keep writing. Because no, it isn't. Nothing that you can put on these pages is stupid. Nothing that you put on these pages is wrong. Okay? And the idea here is to work as quickly as you can,
okay,
so that your left brain, your inner critic, doesn't have time to tell you that what you are coming up with is stupid. And what you're going to do, okay, the first thing that you are going to see is a page with 15 circles on it and a lot of space in between the circles. Okay, and the word in the center circle, and all the rest are empty, on the first page is love. And what you are doing with this page is you're writing down generically things that you love first. Okay, so let's say you love Godiva chocolates. Godiva chocolates is way too specific. Chocolates is a little too specific. Candy is basically what you're looking for here, okay? If you love Ferraris, okay, widen that out a little bit to fast cars, or the thing that you love about Ferraris, which is driving ridiculously fast.
Or style.
Or just style, yes. Yes, or the color red. A red Ferrari, man, please. So what you are looking for here is in the circles are kind of general things that you love. And then all that space around the circles, you just kind of scribble in stuff that is more specific about the stuff that's in the circles. And Beck is not going to do all of these because this does take some time.
Yeah.
She's going to do probably 5 or 6. And then her filled out worksheets will also be available for you as PDFs. She can do it. I'm not sure that she
can. Yeah, I can do it. I have a scanner.
Okay.
A word of warning. I'm going to try to write nice. But I'm sorry.
You don't have to write nice.
I do not have pretty handwriting.
The idea here is to be able to see what filled out worksheets look like. And then she, like she said, she has had absolutely no prep for this. She hasn't even seen the worksheets. And these are new worksheets. So with your sheets printed out and in front of you, now is time to pause.
Okay.
All right, then.
Got some weird shit.
Well, I did these. I kind of played along at the same time. So go ahead, give me your weird stuff, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of mine.
Yeah, yours are probably going to be better. Mine absolutely came out of nowhere. So how do you want me to do what's in the circle and then the surrounding the circle?
Right. Okay, and let's, just for fun and grins and giggles, start with the first circle you did. And what surrounds it, and then the second circle you did and what surrounds it, because these things tend to build on each other. Okay?
Oh, okay. Okay. Talismans. I've got magic, crystals, candles used, sunlight, moonlight, rain in jars, and graveyard dirt.
Ooh.
Yeah, very weird.
Cool.
And this is all stuff that just, again, I wasn't thinking of anything. Talismans was the first thing that came to mind. Reflections.
Is reflections your second circle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess because crystals came to mind and it made sense, and then glass and reflections. So reflections catch you off guard, beautiful reality, take breath away. This is all muse. I have no idea what any of this means at this point. Then I guess take breath away led to animals, cats, mystery, cryptid, secrets, hidden. Cryptids have been coming up in my head a lot recently, so that one's not so much of a surprise.
Cool.
Then water, rejuvenating ocean, clear. After I wrote hidden animals, I thought ocean, but ocean is too specific, so I wrote water. Then I went through ocean, rejuvenating, clear, warm, cold, healthy. Adventure. Risk, new things, high octane, jump, learning. And then men. I guess I was thinking of Tony with, you know, the high octane firefighter EMS stuff.
So yeah, cool.
Yeah, men. And that went to support, strength, strong, vulnerable, individual, secrets. And don't know where secrets came from again, but it was there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just did this really lightly, but the first thing that I came up with, and this is the reason that I wanted to kind of jump in here on this, is because the first word that I got in on the page for love is dancing. And I hate dancing. I am an awful dancer. But it was the first word that came to mind, so I wrote it down.
Just to let the readers know, or the listeners know, sorry, don't share your stuff with somebody else when you're doing this.
Yeah.
Because you don't want their information to, like, leak into your head. So if you're doing this with somebody else, with a friend or something, don't share until you're done.
Right, right. This is what we are doing here is because we both are already pretty well familiar with these techniques.
And with each other and stuff. So
and with each other.
Yeah. Right.
So we are not going to tell you, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, no.
To say that to each other. But you can anticipate that there will be people who will tell you you are doing this wrong. So just don't talk to them about it. This is your thing. Okay, these are your ideas.
Yes, yes. And I was just thinking, like, you don't want somebody else's answer for love to pop in when you're doing the next page or something like that, or something that they said to pop into your next work or to influence your right brain at all. So if you are sitting there with a couple of writer friends and you're doing it together, just wait till the entire episode is done to then share what you got, because it's more fun that way too, you know?
Right, right.
So dancing was the first one for you.
Right, dancing was the first one for me, but then I got wild places as my second circle, food as my third circle, fourth was running, fifth was magic, sixth was science, seventh was winter, and my eighth circle was daring. And daring was the one that clicked for me. So that was the one that I started writing words around first. And I wrote skydiving, flying, sky, monsters, building, change, and tigers around daring. And then I jumped over to dancing, which is the thing that I hate that's on the page of stuff that I'm supposed to love.
So is running.
And, huh?
So is yeah, running. Well,
there you go. And then you get tango, foxtrot, spies, danger, killer, and clown from dancing.
No.
And all of a
no
sudden.
No clown.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's all scary shit here. That's, yeah, well, you know, tango cool. And foxtrot. Tango and foxtrot led me to these elegant images of people who became spies, who were in danger, who were involved with a killer. And then clown goes boing. And it's like, yeah, yeah, that's it. Killer clowns. That's what I need to figure
no. out. Oh, God. I do love how this worked for you so differently than me. And it's a perfect example for people that if you're not doing it like me, if you're not doing it like Holly, if you're doing something completely different, that's fine. The whole idea is idea generation. See, every right. single word I put down struck something in me and was like really cool. So I started to kind of figure those out. Whereas Holly was working faster and found something, it worked out. Then she went back to something else. So any way that you're doing this is fine.
Right, right. There is no order to this. This is you. If you choose your first word and want to write all cluster out everything on that first, that's cool. I just did all my circles. Well, I did eight circles first, and then I did started spinning stuff out around the edges for the first word that actually interested me, which was daring, and then I could go back to the other things, but. This is, you know, we're just showing you how this works at this point. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
page
now,
two.
Page two. Yes. The next page. Okay. And again, I have to emphasize what the words that pop into your head, whether they make sense or not in relation to hate, if they pop into your word, you keep them. You write them down. And, yeah. It's very, very easy to fall into the trap of censoring what doesn't fit the word. But just like I put dancing as the first word for love when I hate dancing, you can put anything on here. It's just what concepts, what thoughts does the word hate summon up for you? Put those into the big circles, kind of in general, and then go more specific around the edges. And with that, go ahead and pause.
Alrighty.
All right. We are back. So, what did you get?
More weird shit. Again, and I'm acting like this never happens, but this always happens. You always get the weirdest stuff, stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, the first thing that I came up with was old barn. And I like old barns. But it came up, and then it was rage, fear, violence, murder. Then, I don't know why, but synchronicity popped into my head.
Okay.
The hell? So, computers, robotic, analogous. It's like, what? How do you pronounce that?
Analogous.
Analogous. Like, what? No individuals. Like, okay. Then animals. But it was different. It was worry, fear. Then blacktop. Hot, sticky, pain from fall. Then grass mound. Hidden, spooky, secret gravesite. Harbors anger. Scratches. Sound. Mars perfection. Evidence. And you can see how these start to lead to one another. I think that some of mm-hmm. them kind of popped into my head randomly, but it seems like old barn, grass mound, scratches, and then the next one, lonesome, elders, stories to tell, no ambiguity, fear of discovery, pride. So
yeah.
Those were all of mine, and like, so weird.
Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah, mine was weird too. I did my more generic words. I did 8 of those first, and then I started building out. And my first word was rage. My second generic word was fear. My third was following. My fourth was alligators. My fifth was reptilian coldness. My sixth was crowds. My seventh was pity, and wait for it, my eighth was sharing. And I there was a thing that came up with this. So I built out rage first with, and I got loss of control, anxiety, failure, bewilderment, loss, pity, and hollow in the corridor of ice. But I don't know. It was there.
Yeah,
I
again,
wrote it down.
Weird shit that pops into your right brain.
And then
embrace it.
Yes. And then from hollowness in the corridor of ice, I jumped over to sharing and got broken, stolen, ruined, destruction, deception, hurt, and lost, which took me back to kindergarten when we were forced to share. And the stuff that I shared got broken, stolen, ruined, destruction, deception, hurt, and lost. Yeah. Fear gave me winter emptiness and ending. And that, again, this is a case of things that you write down that don't seem to make sense. Your right brain has a reason for putting there. You know, sharing, that's a pretty strange thing to have in a hate slot until it takes you back to this time when you were basically preconceptual. And the fact that you were forced to share things that were important to you and that were very hard to come by, like the really good big pack of Crayola crayons, was ruined by other people because you were forced to share. And your folks didn't have a lot of money, so they were not replaceable. So your brain is telling you things when you start putting this stuff on the paper that might not make a great deal of sense. But trust that what is going down there is the right thing. Trust yourself to put things in there that you will figure out why they matter. And no matter how weird it is to put it on the page, put it there anyway.
I guess I should explain with the blacktop and grass mound. And these were all things that are coming back from when we lived at... the first house, the one where you built your studio out of the garage.
Oh,
these were
God.
All stuff that just started popping up, and I think some of it came from, I was reading a lot of Goosebumps back then, and I was like 7 or 8,
mm-hmm.
and I was reading a lot of Goosebumps, and I read Harriet the Spy and stuff like that, so I was always in this very adventurous mood, and I had my fake little private detective stuff that you bought us, and private detective business cards, and I was having a lot of fun, but I was also, you know, always in that mindset of finding a mystery, because I read The Three Investigators a lot too. Great set of books. So I was very much in that mindset. And I remember finding a grass mound with Janetta, my best friend at the time. And it just was very spooky. And it was in these woods that we used to play in a lot. And I just started creating stories in my head about what was in there. So I guess some of that stuff, and like you find scratches, and it's amazing the stuff that your brain feeds you, and you don't know where it's from until you're writing it, and then you think of it, and it's just these little flashes in your head. It's an awesome experience to do this kind of brainstorming. If you haven't done it before, give it a shot, even if you think you don't like it, because I used to hate these circles. I used to watch mom make them, and I'd be like, I hate this. This is so stupid. I can't make it work. And I would try, and I'd be like, I hate this, because I took How to Think Sideways when she was putting it out, and this came in, and a couple years later, I just sat down and tried it, and it just clicked. So something that you try a while ago, you might want to try it again too. So
this threw me back to your mystery phase, and you and your brother out in front of the house doing chalk outlines of each other with the sidewalk chalk that I got for you out in the little circle. Yes. In
which
front of the
house. Which I put in Leaving Wanda Lucia as a throwback to me and my brother making the chalk outlines of the dead people.
Yes, it looked like we had a massacre out front of the house. There were like 40, 50 bodies out there outlined.
Yeah. Some days there'd just be two or three. Some days the entire cul-de-sac would be littered with dead bodies because Ben would come over and his little brother Ian, and we would... It was a child massacre.
It was just a little horrifying to walk out there and see all those little outlines. And then, of course...
There were so many.
Yeah. And then, of course, with your love of mysteries, there was our trip to the police station. When you and your brother left a type note out in the yard, and somebody thought that there was... Oh, my God.
It was, just to sum that up real quick, I typed up a letter on mom's computer because we were allowed to play with it before this. I printed out a whole bunch of copies, and I took my brother with me. Because I wanted to play a game, and we left them on cars. We left them in bushes. It was on cars underneath the little, the way that people leave flyers. They pick up your little window washers, and we left them there and all over the place. And then the police are knocking at the door. Apparently, we caused a 15-man stakeout in Fayetteville, and I still have the newspaper somewhere.
Yeah, I still have a copy of that too. I have mine laminated.
I want to frame it and put it up on the wall in my writing office. Not that I'm proud, but it's a moment.
Thing your children will do to you, where you get to sit in an interrogation room and explain to them why you don't do things like this. That is my one experience in a police interrogation room, is me on one side and the two kids on the other, and us sitting there looking at each other.
I have been to jail twice before I was 10 years old. The first time I stole a peppermint patty, my mom was pissed, so she took me to the local jail, and that was fun. Didn't steal anything again after that until I think I was like 11 or 12 and going through that phase. Or no, I was 10 and I was going through one of those phases that kids go through when they go through trauma and all this BS. And then the second time was the letters. So yeah. I police stations, not a good place for kids. Alrighty.
Well,
so
anyway,
nice little tangent. Let's get back to creating.
Yes, let's do that.
Next page.
Okay, the next page is desire. And this is one of the reasons why you don't share your sheets with other people, is because a lot of times a lot of personal stuff will show up on these that is very important to your fiction. And if you are censoring to make it publicly acceptable, you are going to lose a lot of very important stuff. So with desire on the map here, we are not going to, we're going to do these, but we are not going to report what we got on them. And the same is true with, fear is generally a little bit safer.
I can still share.
Okay, all right. All right. Well, then now is the time to pause, and we will be back when we have stuff for you.
Okay.
All right, then. So what'd you get?
Some more weird ones. Blood. Life. Let me see. Giving shiny power. Shiny popped up.
Yeah.
Money. I can't even read my own handwriting. Money. Finer things. Financial health. Stability. Security. Freedom. Off grid. No meds. No doctors. No obligations. No death. Always moving. Blue. Calm. Serenity. Mind. Soul. Deep.
Nice.
And we're doing a few less just so that we can keep this episode at a good timely manner for you guys as well.
Yes, yes. And I'm just going to give you one from mine. My subconscious mind decided to be a little smartass. So as for desire, the first thing it gave me was rainbows and kittens. And I built out from that bright, playful, joyful, radiant, and exuberant, which all are actually things that count. So... All right.
Yeah.
And so we've got one more to do of these, which is fear. And then we're going to get into starting to use these, because this is just the very basic beginning. And then there are tools that you use to start making these into stories. Okay. So with that, go ahead and pause, and we will be right back. Okay. And we're back. What did you get?
Okay, I got, and this is no surprise because I always, this always ends up on one of these circles in the fear category, clowns. So I got hidden motives, faces painted, see one thing, it's another, false front, pure evil. Suffocation, so drowning, pillows, no breathing, loss of control, loss, loved ones, pain, empty, depth of grief.
That's cool. I didn't do any building out on this because my brain was going in a very, very strange direction here. So I just filled in 8 circles. I got dagger, man at bus stop, and there's a story behind that for another time. Silence, dark, hollow places, hollowness, the shallows, and torn from the pages as fear. And I have no idea what, I know what dagger and man at the bus stop are, but and silence and dark, yeah, that's kind of obvious. But then we get into the hollow thing, and I had an echo on that from the hate page, which was hollows in the corridor of ice. And yeah. So
see, and that's funny because you are letting go completely, and my mind, because I take a moment to clear out my mind, but then it always goes back to this stories, these ideas that I built upon in love and hate and desire, and it pulls back from those to give me more information. It's so weird how differently your brains work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's by the way, we are going to be doing this week and then next week as well, because this is a longer process than you would anticipate.
Yeah, so the episodes for you might actually be a little bit shorter, probably under an hour, maybe around 45 minutes. But for us, it's actually taken, the entire everything today has been a couple of hours.
Yes.
So this and the previous, we just filmed a mini episode for you guys as well, which will be coming out after this one, oddly enough. But yeah, so we will be filming part 2 next week.
Yeah.
Are we doing anything else on this?
Yes. Yes. Well, the first worksheet here is the Conflict Generator 1, Worksheet 1. And what you are doing is taking a desire and you are setting it opposite a fear. And this is just a case of filling stuff out. Now, we're not going to be able to have time to get into how you actually use all of the stuff this week, but what you're doing right now is you're taking a desire, you're finding a fear that your right brain tells you is an interesting counterpoint to that desire. And then you are just listing things. Okay? So, and you can pull from the centers. You can pull from something that you have built out along the edges. You can reuse if you have one particular thing and your right brain says, oh man, that's not everything I have to say on that. That has another obstacle, another fear that needs to be counterpoint to it. You can do the shallows as my fear with silence and space, mountains, escapes, rainbows and kittens, whatever. So with that said, go ahead and get out your conflict generator worksheet 1 and just start filling that out. I'll pause now. All right. We are back. Okay. What'd you get?
I got a couple. My brain just kind of was telling me this is what is. So finer things was the desire and suffocation was the obstacle, which is really weird because my brain was telling me, but it's not suffocation, like, you know, the pillows and stuff. So just write suffocation. I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. And I was going to stop, but then it's like, no, always moving. So I wrote that down, and loss of control was the obstacle. And then blood, it had to get blood in there somehow. And it told me talisman, and I said, well, okay, but this isn't love. This is desire and fear. So it said hidden motives.
Okay.
So that's the hidden motives is the obstacle to blood for somehow. I don't know.
And there is a talisman. Okay. When you have something like this, when your brain is talking to you and it's telling you that there's something you need to have there that isn't in the right place, then you go ahead and write talisman in there so you remember.
Oh, I did.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I did. Yeah, it's on there because it's underneath because it's like, that's not, you know, part of it.
But yes.
Okay, what else?
Yeah. My desire would be the silence in space. And the obstacle to that was the shallows. And I have...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, silence in space. And then the shallows. And I have no idea what the shallows are. So that's something that I want to find out. And that between the hollowness thing showing up twice on different pages and shallows, there is something going on in the back of my mind that has started to cook. And
this is cool.
Yeah. I love it. This is how this stuff comes together for me. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to do is the conflict generator worksheet 2. And I forgot to mention, the conflict generator worksheet 1 has a question on it. What obstacle must a character overcome to achieve that which she or he most desires? The conflict generator worksheet 2 is what hatred must a character overcome to achieve that which he or she most loves? So you are going to get out your love worksheet and your hate worksheet, and you're going to pull things out of this that may or may not make any sense, as my shallows thing does not yet make any sense. And you are going to write down your conflicts. And with that, go ahead and pause, and we will get this started. We'll be back in a sec. So you got stuff?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then.
I was just writing them out quick as could be. Crystals. Okay, so love, crystals and sunlight. Obstacle, scratches, sound, clicks. And it came from the page, but then my muse told me sound and clicks. That's important. Love, healthy ocean water. Like all of this, it kept telling me all of this is together. Obstacle, hate, blacktop pain. Love, grass mound, the burial, which was in hate.
Ooh.
But it was like, I love it. So I had to write it down. Obstacle, hate is graveyard dirt.
Wow.
Like, but it's a grave. So yeah, it's like so weird. And then love, beautiful unreality reflection. Obstacle, lonesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm, this is so weird. I'm really loving it though.
Yeah, I am. Well, this next part should be fun. Okay, what I got here, briefly, I have winter as the thing I love, which I do, and miss it because I live in Florida. And the obstacle is crowds. I don't know. I got no idea. The thing I hate, crowds, which I do. But, and then I got the dancing and the spies as love, both of those words on that same line, and hollow in the corridor of ice as the thing I hate. And again, there, like, as with you, there is some part of my brain that says these things are all connected to each other. That this is some kind of story that it has an idea for, and it just hasn't thrown it out to me in so many words yet. So, there is a third worksheet. These are called per story questions. And the questions here are, what good reason does the character have for hating what she hates? What big problem does the character not know about what she or he loves? What price must the character pay to earn what she desires? What action must the character take to overcome what he fears? And you are going to answer these looking at your worksheets, looking at the things that you've pulled out there. Grab your conflict generator worksheets and start answering the questions, and just do not censor. No matter how weird it sounds when it hits the page, just write the answer, assume that it's right, and you're going to call this story number one. You can print as many of these sheets as you want. You can do as many of these sheets as you want.
The more you do, the more likely you'll come up with a couple of really good ideas instead of all just really weird random shit.
Right. I made this easy for people to print off by only having one of those story generator question things at the end. But print off five or six and just put together, work your way down your conflict generators and just start testing these things out. Okay, and with that, it's time to start testing them out. Go ahead and pause now and we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. And I hope you got some interesting stuff. What did you get, Becca?
Oh, this is very weird. Okay, so what good reason does the character have for hating what she hates? Her lonesome grandfather, widow and single for all 26 years she was alive, was killed on a fresh blacktop in summer. The only evidence of murder were scratches, and she dreams of him talking in scratches and clicks.
Ooh, okay, cool.
Very weird. What big problem does the character not know about what she loves? She loves magic, talismans, the pictures of her grandfather on the ocean, but there is a dark secret about her grandmother who is buried in a grass mound, and her grandfather refused to be buried in his plot with her. But why? And the answer is something to do with graveyard dirt.
Uh-huh.
What price must the character pay to earn what she desires? Finer things being on the road, she wants this lifestyle. She must give up her blood. So I'm assuming ties, because it says her blood, her blood and ties to magic, and then in parentheses, talisman. So I'm assuming she has to give up her ties to her family, because that's what it, when I wrote blood this time, it meant family.
Right.
And then what action must the character take to overcome what she fears? Loss of control. She must lose her control in magic. She must uncover the hidden motives. And what is suffocating her? So the action is very small in there, but she must actually give in to one of her fears in order to do to get rid of the other two.
Nice. That's excellent.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So first off, I got a title, The Spy Who Loved Dancing, instead of a story number. Yes. The good reason the character has for hating what she hates. She loves to tango and foxtrot. She hates the hollow of the corridor of ice because that was where and how her partner was murdered. Now, the thing I know about her that I didn't write down here is that she is a spy. So her partner was a dancing partner, but also her spy partner. Okay. The big problem, the character does not know about what she loves. The person she trusts most, her current partner, is the person who killed her previous partner so he could work with her. The price that the character must pay to earn what she desires is she's going to have to survive her current partner's treachery and prove her own innocence to whoever. I don't know who yet. And what action must the character take to overcome what she fears? She has to prove her current partner's guilt to survive.
That is awesome. That is really awesome. Yeah.
So, and again, that's out of nothing and working with things that made absolutely no sense to me while I was writing them down. And my brain pulled them in, and yours did the same thing. Scratches and whispers and yeah.
Yeah, mine gave me some really cool shit, and we're going, and I can't wait till next week to work on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So next week, what we are going to do is put together the story. And we're going to do her story. We're not going to worry about mine. Mine was just to demonstrate how different people get different results.
So Holly had to leave a little early because we were running behind schedule. So I decided, you know, I can just wrap up for you guys. You can find us at all of the socials. Facebook is Alone in the Room with Invisible People. Twitter and Instagram are both at AIARWIP. You can also search for Alone in a Room with Invisible People or Alone with Invisible People. I've been hashtagging them so they should both show up. We've also got our website/blog, which is alonewithinvisiblepeople.com, shortened to make it a little bit easier, where you can comment, leave questions on any of the episodes that you hear. You can always suggest future episodes. If you're one of Holly's patrons at patreon.com, you can leave comments, questions, suggestions for further topics there. You can always email us at show@alonewithinvisiblepeople.com. Again, that is show@alonewithinvisiblepeople.com. We wanted to let you guys know that we really appreciate all the reviews that you guys have been leaving and rating us. And we just wanted to remind you that we have an offer out. It is basically for reviews on iTunes, because iTunes is how we can reach a bigger audience and get us, you know, some more people listening in. And so our offer was for the reviews on iTunes. We have two ebooks. One is an ebook from Holly called Squicks. I think. Let me look that up real quick. Hers is a sci-fi, and it is in the same world. It's in settled space, but it doesn't have Katie or any of the ones that she's writing right now. But that book is called Squick Studies. So that is from Holly. And then you have a roughly 3,000 word ghost story. Just a story that I've written to include in an anthology of ghost stories, and that is from me. And all we just ask is that you leave us a review on iTunes if you are really enjoying the show, if you love it, if it's brought you any value at all. Leave us a review and let us know. Email me at rebecca@alonewithinvisiblepeople.com and let me know. I'll have to verify that you did leave the review. And then once that is done, you will get both ebooks. We really, really appreciate all the support, all the kind words that you guys have been just overwhelmingly positive and wonderful. And if it wasn't for you, this podcast would not exist. Really, honestly, and truly. So thank you so much. I know that it means the world to Holly that, you know, this podcast has been so successful with her people. As Holly would say, you can do this. So if there's anything else that you guys have any questions or anything, remember, just give us some comments, email us, and we will see you next week. And now, a word from our sponsor.
You want to write. You love words, you love fiction, but you don't know where to start, or how to middle, or where to finish. I do. I'm Holly Lyle, and I've been doing this professionally since 1991. And I know how I did what I did to go pro. And I'll be happy to show you what I've learned. Start with my free 3-week flash fiction class at hollyswritingclasses.com.